today is found in the book of Psalms, the very first Psalm, Psalm 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the one, the person, the man, the woman, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. This is the word of God for the people of God. So on the 10th day of Christmas, my true love gave to me, anyone? 10 Lords of Leaping, very good, yes. And so this is the 10th day of Christmas. Tuesday would be the last of the Christmas season, the 12th day of Christmas. And so after that, we move into Epiphany. And so now we need to think of, if you haven't thought about it already, de-decorating. We need to think about taking the ornaments down. We need to think about getting the stockings down. We need to think about taking the tree down, pulling the lights down. All of that happens around this end of the Christmas season. And we put them all away until Advent rolls around in November the end of this year. So speaking of those holiday decorations, most of us put up a tree of some sort. And my question to you this morning, are you a live tree person, a real tree person, or are you an artificial tree person? Because there's, you know, those two types of trees, and people tend usually to prefer one or the other. So reports this year that I've seen on the news have said that more people have bought live trees this year than in years past, that the trend seemed to be going out and let's get a live tree this year. I don't know if it's because it was hard to shop for an artificial tree or whatever, but just seemed to be there are more live trees purchased this year than usual. And speaking of trees, if you were a tree, live tree, artificial tree, which would you pick? Would you, you know, I know we have a tendency of what we like as far as putting up in the house for Christmas, but what kind of harmonizes with your soul? Are you kind of more along the lines of artificial fake, or are you more the lines of vibrant and living? And I ask that because, of course, trees don't have a choice what they are. But people aren't trees, and people do have a choice about what kind of person they are. I don't know if you saw this many years ago, but a man named Morgan Spurlock put together a documentary of his 30-day experiment where he decided to eat nothing for 30 days. Nothing for breakfast, lunch, and dinner except for McDonald's. He went for every meal for a whole month and ate at McDonald's, and he documented it, video of before and after and during and all that happened to him. Unfortunately, his health deteriorated significantly in those 30 days. Weight went up 24 pounds in 1 month, and his cholesterol numbers went from a healthy level to over 230 was his total cholesterol number. Well, after viewing that documentary, a science teacher in Iowa named John Cisna decided to do the same experiment, but just do it a little differently. And so he recruited three of his science students in this high school in Iowa and decided for 90 days for 3 months, he would do the same thing. He would eat nothing except McDonald's, breakfast, lunch, and dinner at McDonald's. The only difference was he decided to try to make healthier choices. And so he had his students, the three that were involved with him in this project, to go online and look at the McDonald's nutritional guide that was there and pick out things that, as best they could, aligned with healthy nutritional practices. And so keeping his caloric intake at and his fat intake at certain levels that were within healthy guidelines. And so, for instance, for breakfast, he might have the two McDonald's Egg White Delights. And for lunch, he might have a salad. But for dinner, anything was fair game. And he would do McDonald's, you know, combo meals. He would do fries and Big Macs and quarter pounders with cheese. He would do the ice cream. He would do the sundaes, the ice cream cones, you know, for dinner that, you know, he said thought to be fair to the project. He'd have to try everything on the menu. And so his students helped him with this. And for 3 months, the owner of that local franchise in McDonald's was so interested in wondering what was going to happen. He provided all those meals for free for John Cisna. Well, at the end of the 90 days, I need to add one more thing. He also decided to not sit still for 90 days. For every day of those 90 days, he walked for at least a half an hour, usually 45 minutes. So he included that in the program as well. At the end of the 90 days, he had lost 37 pounds, lost 37 pounds. And his cholesterol number, his total cholesterol dropped from 249 down to 170. And he said the moral of the story isn't that you should go eat at McDonald's. but the moral of the story is that we have to pay attention to the choices that we make. He said, we all have choices. And it's our choices that make us fat, not McDonald's. And you think about that and apply that to just about every important area of our life. Because we, unlike trees, we have the ability to make choices. And no matter the circumstances of our life, we have the choices that can help us make us who we want to be. Choices shape your life and make you the person that you are. And I think that's what's exciting about a new year. Because at the beginning of a new year, we have a great opportunity to commit or recommit to the pursuit of being who we want to be. And resolving once again to make the choices that get us to that place. And so for the choice that we have to make of who we want to be as Christians is easy, right? I mean, we are followers of Jesus Christ. So what kind of person do you want to be given that? We are someone who believes in the one holy, true Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what kind of person do we choose to be? As a recipient of amazing grace, whose sins are forgiven, whose destiny is eternal life, what kind of person do you want to be? And it sounds simple enough, but I think it's a serious problem in the church that Christians sometimes are confused about who they want to be, about the choices that they make in order to reflect who they are as persons of faith. Because it is a choice, and it's one that we should be absolutely clear about. Yet oftentimes our thoughts, our decisions, our desires are not aligned with eternal life and being a saved and redeemed person. So what is the best choice for the kind of person that we should be as believers? Well, of course, I wouldn't ask that question unless we could find the answer to it in God's word. But listen to this. Listen to what happened when God created human beings in the beginning. So we go back to the book of Genesis and we go to the very first chapter. And it's a passage that you're all familiar with. The Bible says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And you know what the next three words are? God blessed them. A couple chapters later, Genesis chapter 5, when God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them, male and female. And you know what the next two words are? He created them, male and female, and blessed them. Noah was blessed. Abraham was blessed. Moses was blessed. David was blessed. Solomon was blessed. The nation of Israel was blessed. 30 times in the book of Psalms, it talks about a person of God, a person of faith, being blessed. The Gospels talk about over 30 times followers of Jesus Christ being blessed. Jesus, in fact, even includes the idea in the very outset of the Sermon on the Mount. If you remember, the sermon begins with the Beatitudes, and Jesus says this: blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth, and so on and so forth. Jesus talks about those who live in the kingdom, those who have kingdom life, those who have eternal life, those who follow him, believe in him, accept him as a Lord and Savior in their life. Those are persons who are blessed. In fact, we get to the very end of the Bible and we get to chapter 19 of the book of Revelation, and the great invitation goes out to the eternal banquet. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage feast of the Lamb. So the kind of person that we want to be as believers is blessed. That's what we want to be. We want to be blessed persons. God's designed us that way. He's meant for us to be blessed. And so anyone here want to be blessed this year? You know, brand new year, you want to be blessed? Yay. That's the kind of people that God's designed us to be. That's the kind of people our souls long to be. The question is, how do we get there? How do we become blessed? And that's where this very first psalm comes in. Right at the beginning, the outset of all of the psalms, there's 150 of them, but the very first one, the very first line is, blessed is the person who. And then it goes on to talk about that. So, by the way, I'm beginning a series on Psalms today, a new year, a new series. And so for several weeks, we're going to look at several Psalms. And they're just a beautiful, rich, a passionate understanding of the life of the soul that is connected to God. And so we're going to take some time to look at that. But Psalm 1 starts off with the definition of what it means to be blessed. Blessed is the person. And that word in itself is where our understanding comes from. For the Hebrew word is ashrei. And that has this whole idea of a benediction, of a beautiful gift of God bestowed upon his people, on those who seek him. And this beautiful gift is very similar to the Hebrew idea of shalom. It's an all-encompassing favor that God bestows upon his people. There's a contentment in our life when we are blessed with shalom. There's a peace that we have with God and with others that comes from being blessed. There's a wholeness. That's the idea between. That's the idea in love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. That's wrapped up in this benediction right at the outset of the Psalms. It's the idea of being productive, using the gifts that you have and being fruitful. It's the idea of being alive, being passionate, being full of energy and the power of God's Spirit. It's this idea of being touched by God's grace, by his presence, and the deep assurance that we have that God is with us. all of that is wrapped up in this idea of blessed, which also follows the concept of shalom throughout the scriptures. It's an amazing, amazing plan that God has for our life. It's an amazing design that God has in place for who we are. The question now becomes, how do we choose to be blessed? And the rest of the psalm lines out two things. One's a negative, one's a positive. And so it starts with the negative. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, who does not stand in the way that sinners take, who doesn't sit in the company of mockers. In other words, the person who's choosing to be blessed is a person who chooses to avoid sin. We don't yield to our sinful nature. We don't yield to self-indulgence. We don't yield to lust or to greed or to pride or to arrogance. We avoid things like adultery and stealing and lying and drunkenness and gluttony and demeaning and rudeness toward others. We avoid sin. So if you're choosing to be blessed, you're choosing to avoid sin. I knew someone who had a cherry tree in their backyard, and they loved the cherries, but many years the birds would beat them to the cherries. And they tried a lot of different things to try to scare the birds away, even went so far as hanging CDs in the branches of the cherry tree and hoping these old CDs and their reflection and spinning and so on would scare the birds away, but that didn't work. Eventually what this person had to do was throw a big net over the whole tree. And that net what kept the birds out. It acted like a barrier to those birds who would come and steal the cherries. And that's somewhat what needs to take place in our life. If we choose to be blessed people, we're wanting to throw a net over our heart so that the birds of sin will not perch any longer in the branches of our life. Psalm 119, which is one of the psalms we'll talk a little bit more about when we get there, but there's a beautiful verse in there in verse 9 that says, how can a person keep their way pure? How can a person live a pure, holy life? How can a person avoid sin? And the answer is by keeping the word of God. The answer is by being careful to follow what God says. That's Psalm 119, verse 9. Well, that's what Psalm 1 says as well. That's the second piece. The first piece is avoid sin. The second piece is to obey God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. Choosing to be blessed means we choose to fill our minds with what is truth, what is righteous and holy. Our mind is filled with God's word. Our heart delights in God's word. Our soul is fixated on pleasing God by knowing his word and paying attention to it and living obediently. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love. And so that's a choice. If you obey my commands, we choose to do that. So choosing to be blessed means we choose to avoid sin and choose to obey God. If that's the person that you want to be, if you want to be a blessed person, which is God's plan and design for your life, then you choose to avoid sin and to obey God. Our obedience flows out of our love for God. We know who we want to be, and we know what we want to do because it's clear in Scripture that that's how God has designed us to be and how to live. And when we do that, when we obey God, when we fill our mind and heart, soul with the Word of God, that keeps us on track. It helps us know what decisions to make, holy decisions. And now we're not talking about what we have to do to earn God's blessing, because that's not how God works. We don't have to strive in our own righteousness to make God happy. No, we accept his righteousness as a gift. And then we just cooperate with that, the way we live, the way we're made. And that's where our obedience comes in. Avoiding sin, obeying God's word, is not some magical formula that gets us heavenly rewards for good behavior. That's not what the gospel is about. This part of God's word, Psalm 1, is reminding us that God's plan for our life is a beautiful thing. And how we cooperate with that plan is very clear. Avoiding sin and obeying God. And then the blessing that comes is what verse 3 is about. That person, that blessed person, is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not prosper or does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. So being blessed is about being fulfilled. It's about being whole. It's about finding that shalom, that fulfillment, that ashrei in our life. It's not about necessarily losing weight. It's not necessarily about making more money or beating COVID or getting straight A's or vacationing in Hawaii or shooting a hole in one or finishing the Flying Pig Marathon. That's not what being blessed is about. Being blessed is like a tree planted in the perfect spot where it can grow and where it can prosper. It's one of the things Jesus said in the Beatitudes. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be, you remember what it says? Satisfied. They shall be fulfilled. Now, it takes a while for a tree, even if it's planted in the right spot, to grow and to mature. You plant a tree when it's a young tree and it doesn't even provide much shade. No matter what kind of tree it is, it takes a while for it to grow, to mature. And it's the same in our lives. It takes a while for that fulfillment, all of those benefits of being blessed, to mature in our life. But staying planted in the right spot, staying with our lives rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, that helps us to grow and mature. And seeking that blessed life, choosing to avoid sin and obey God, that's what feeds our life as we become the blessed people that he's designed for us to be. So I don't know what New Year's resolution you made this year. Maybe you're still thinking about it. Maybe you've resolved, like some, not to make a New Year's resolution. But I'd like to challenge you this morning, on this first Sunday of the new year, to make a resolution to be a blessed person. In fact, if you want to, just raise your hand right now and repeat after me. In 2021, I resolve to avoid sin and to obey God. Somebody say amen to that. Get it? Good. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you for your amazing love for us, a love that has designed us to be whole and fulfilled, to be blessed. And help us to not take that for granted, but instead realize that's exactly what not only God has designed for me, but is also what my heart desires. Help us today with renewed commitment to live the life that we want to live, a life that is faithful to you, O Lord. And so we pray as we take these first steps into the new year that you help us with every step. shining the light of your word on every choice we make, helping us to avoid sin and obey God. Our prayer today is to be faithful. And we ask for your help. That's our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.